their podcast audio going. Everyone's having a good time. We just got back. We went down to the movie theater and took a look at this here U.S. film.
Us? U.S.?
United States of us fellers.
Yes.
All right. Let me take a look at yours.
Yes. Oh, you're checking my decibels. Yes.
Indeed, neighbor.
Okay. They're awesome. I know.
All right. So, we did go take a look at the film like we said we would in the podcast that we just uploaded, which means, damn, yeah, we're going to piss somebody off that left a comment on Twitter that said, you can't put out so many episodes in such a short amount of time.
Sorry. We have a work ethic. I know we're black and nobody saw it coming, but it happens.
And I try to do what I think I know I would want. Like, if I really dig some shit, I want a whole bunch of that shit.
Right.
Give me a lot of that.
Yeah, we want to give you the opportunity to binge.
Like, you ever see me eat less than one whole pizza pie?
No.
I eat the whole fucking thing.
I never see you eat less than, like, two burritos either. Usually three or four, sometimes five.
Yeah, typically four. Yeah, four small ones will do me in proper right good. Yes. And then I have leftover ingredients to have some for breakfast.
Yes.
That is what I do. That's actually what I had for breakfast this morning.
Is it?
Yeah, I had three of them. Yeah, I have four. Yeah, broke it on down, man. It's pretty good. this film.
Yes.
The slow parts were definitely slow.
Yeah.
But especially toward the end. Kind of like that, the all cis woman Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Like, once it got to the end, like, when they were in the city fighting, they were getting, it was ill.
Uh-huh.
It was like, this is what it should have been the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least spaced.
Right.
But what, the shit started in 1986?
Yes.
And then Phoenix was like, man, I hate this scene. Why?
I said, I hate this. I didn't say I hate this scene. All right, so the movie starts in 1986. There's, the main character is Adelaide. That's, we found out later, is Lupita Nyong'o's character. I don't know the name of the actress who played her as a child. But so Adelaide is the main character, and she is at a carnival on the boardwalk with her family. Her father is clearly intoxicated, and her mother is apathetic. And, he's playing carnival games and whatnot. And it's also her birthday, by the way. And so her mother goes to the bathroom and says, watch your daughter. Of course, he's drunk and playing carnival games, so he doesn't. Adelaide wanders off, goes into this, like, hall of mirrors type thingamajig, and there is a reflection that turns out to be a girl who looks just like her. Adelaide runs from the way the movie is portrayed. Adelaide runs away, and then it flashes to her parents, sitting in, like, a psychiatrist's office or something. And they're like, we don't know what happened. She was only missing for, like, 15 minutes, and now she won't talk. And what do we do? And how do we make her better? And, so on and so forth. And so then it flashes to, like, now, current time. Adelaide is an adult, has two children, is married to M'Baku.
That's who that was? The guy that played M'Baku was that guy?
Yeah, huh. A husband, yeah. The one who was barking at the white man.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, and I will feed you to my children. I believe his name is Duke Winston.
Duke Winston.
I think so.
Okay.
Or Winston Duke. I don't know. Either of those could be a first name, really.
Oh, shit. All right. And, but also, like, the detail of it when the with the carnival game.
Yeah.
Like, because he was annoying the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, man, come on. In public, like, that, like, stumble-fied.
Yeah.
And then, like, very.
And drinking a beer.
And very important to play whack-a-mole right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whack-a-mole's very important. And then the other parent was like, well, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and leave the child here with old Drunko here.
Yes.
I'm like, what the fuck? But then again, that's where I get kicked out of the writer's room, because you get none of these stories for these shows, these movies, any of this stuff, if everyone was just being super careful and logical.
Yes.
You gotta fucking throw, what is it, caution to the wind?
Throw caution to the wind. You have to have conflict to create a story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It goes against how I've lived my life, where I'm just like, no, careful, everybody. Put seatbelts on, but we're not in the car. Yeah, but the earth is moving. What if the planet crashes, guys?
Yeah.
All right. And, you took us forward to, now they're in the car.
Right. Well, just modern day. They're going on vacation, right? So, they're in the car. It was a nice, like, foreshadowing scene when she was trying to teach the kid, because they were playing I Got Five on it.
Yeah.
From the Loonies, and the youngest son, like, didn't know the song, and she was trying to get him on beat and, like, feel the rhythm. So essentially she was teaching him how to be human, which is, you know, a certain level of foreshadowing, if you will.
And also when you think about it, because this bugged me in the trailer. I was like, but she's not
clapping off beat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was, I think, intentional.
Yeah, now I know it is.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I don't know, Lupita, maybe Lupita had a white step. Maybe she got adopted by the same kind of people that raised Daimani Gandhi to be how she is.
Mm.
Okay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta make a political reference.
Yes. So, yeah. And so they own a beach house, and they're hanging out at the beach house. The husband wants to go to the boardwalk. Adelaide, of course, does not want to go to the boardwalk because she remembers, the way they're showing you in the movie, she remembers this traumatic event where she got scared in this house of mirrors, seeing someone who looked like her, and she doesn't want to go, but they go anyway.
Yeah. And also the seeing someone who looked like her, because that was a significant moment, because you're in mirrors.
Right.
And when you look at a mirror, obviously it's looking back, but she saw the back of her head.
Exactly. Yeah. So the person in the mirror had to turn around, so that's how we know it wasn't just a reflection.
Yeah.
And I forgot to add, when she was a little girl at the carnival, she walked by a man holding a sign that said Jeremiah 11:11.
Oh, did you look that up?
Yes. Oh, it's a Bible verse. It's fun.
Yeah, let's see it, man.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them.
Oh, that's fucking rude.
Yes. And that was also just like, side note, I guess, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet of the Bible. He had lots of like gloomy prophecies of like, God is pissed off at you people. You're going to get fucked up. Stop it. Like, that's most of what Jeremiah wrote about. So this is very in line with Jeremiah, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Very doom and gloom.
Yeah. And apparently that guy just stayed out there and did that for like almost a little over 30 years. For 33 years, he just stood out there doing that.
Fucking sign, saying Jeremiah. And so when the family gets to the boardwalk, that guy's died. Same guy. He's dead. And he's was stabbed, which, you know, becomes a plot point.
Yeah.
And so they're putting him on a stretcher in the back of an ambulance. And he's still got a fucking Jeremiah 11:11 sign. He was very dedicated.
And now it makes you think back to when she was so like, I mean, of course, you're like, oh, man. Maybe I don't want my kids to see a dead body. I would be a different kind of parent myself. Like, yes. Fucking, you know what? Hey, give it a glance. It's interesting.
Yeah,
you know, but fucking, right. She was like, don't look. Don't look.
Right, yeah. Yeah. She knew. She knew. And so, they get to the boardwalk. There's the dead Jeremiah 11:11 guy. He's bleeding. And so they're at the beach. They're having fun. Just doing normal shit. You know, they're there. They met their little white friends.
No.
With a fucking attitude.
And the man had on a shirt that said fragile.
Yes.
And of course it had a picture of like a like broken martini glass, but I think someone did that on purpose.
They seem to like to drink a lot. Like the wife was on the beach drinking, he was pouring her wine. He was like, when they left, he's like, it's vodka hour or something.
Vodka o'clock.
Yeah. I was like, so they seem to like drinking quite a bit. And so these two couples, you know, they both have kids. This white couple has two twin daughters, and they seem to be friends, but there's also, like, a certain amount of, like, dick measuring between the two husbands. You know, like, oh, you got a boat, I have a bigger boat. Like, you know, oh, you have a car, I have a newer car. Like, there was a lot of that kind of shit going on.
Huh.
Which, you know, just interesting.
You caught it. I missed that. But you know what, because I don't want to hear the men talk.
I know. Well, I've
heard you guys.
Well, you know, I'm going back to this Bible verse. This is about, like, not following the Lord. And so I'm sort of wondering if some of these were maybe, like, I don't know, like a play on the seven deadly sins or just talking about vices in general. Because, like, the daughter was always on her cell phone. The black husband was obsessed with making more money. The white husband was obsessed with buying things. The wife was always drinking. Like, just engaging in vices. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I wonder if that was like, maybe part of it.
See, that's why it's better that you're on this program. I wouldn't have said any of that shit. I'd be like, man, everybody's tripping.
So, you know, they're just on the beach. Oh, and the kid on the beach, when he was, somebody messed up his stuff, he was playing with in the sand. And they were like, what was it anyway? And he was like, I was building tunnels.
Oh, fuck, he said that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then he went to go to the bathroom, and then he sees the guy that was getting loaded on the stretcher. But he's just standing right there.
Mm-hmm. But you don't see his face.
You see his fingers dripping.
Yeah, his fingers are dripping with blood, and he's just standing there with his arms out, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we come to find out later that, I mean, you probably saw it already. Me, my brain works a little slower. So I was like, oh, he was standing in line waiting for the We Are the World moment with the yes. human hand chain. Okay.
And so, you know, while the boy's off in the bathroom and he's looking at the guy standing there, the mom, of course, freaks out because she can't find him and has basically like a panic attack and does the whole like, you scared me, don't ever run off like that again type of thing. And, you know, she's so freaked out, they leave, they go back home. And then she's, you know, talking to her husband and she tells him about this, you know, I saw this girl who looked just like me in this House of Mirrors. And he's like, well, obviously it was your reflection because you were in a House of Mirrors. And she's like, it wasn't. I don't want to be here. I want to go. You know, I feel like this girl's getting closer to me. All these things are happening and like, you know, just freaking out. And
she can fucking, she really played the fuck out of that. The actor.
Because
like, I'm looking at her like, yo, that's exactly how Phoenix looks at me when she's trying to tell me some shit. And I'm not getting it. Like, exactly the same.
Was it?
But she was nailing it. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I'm just trying to explain to you.
I don't know if she had to, like, study relationships and arguments or women trying to explain shit to men. Like, or what? You know, she lived that. Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, all right. But, yeah, she fucking worked the fuck out of that scene.
Yeah. And, oh, and then, of course, when she put her kids to bed that night, her son pointed out it was 11-11, which, you know, Jeremiah 11-11. Mm. And she's like, ah. And then she sees the picture. Her kid drew a picture of the guy standing with his arms out with the blood dripping off the hand. And she's like, who is that? He's like, I don't know. You know, he didn't really explain it, but you could tell she was like just unsettled by the picture. And so, yeah. So she's telling her husband, like, we gotta go. We gotta go. And of course, he's a man. And he's just making stupid jokes about it. And he's like, well, if she looks like you, we'll be all right, because I could kick your ass if I had to. She's got to be little, right? Like, you know, just being a fucking man.
And I think they were overplaying him a little bit. Like, we got, like, when he laid down in the bed, like, it's like, and the bed was, like...
tiny.
What? Yeah, like, what was that, like... I bet they found something in between queen and twin deliberately for that.
Yeah. So it's just like, all right. So, you know, he's not helping, just being a man. And so, of course, you know, then the power goes out as she's trying to explain this. They're like, oh, dun, dun, dun. You know,
yeah.
You can tell, like, oh, shit's about to get real. And so he's like, oh, it's just, you know, she's, of course, freaking out. And he's like, it's just the fuse box or whatever. I'm going to go be a man and fix it. And then their kid comes in the room and he's like, there's a family standing in front of our house.
And that's when everybody is like, this is what the fuck we've been waiting for. Yes, let's get to the shit. Let's get to what I saw in the goddamn trailer. Mm-hmm. At least that was me. I was like, yeah, yeah, let's start fighting.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right. And so, of course, I look out the window and there's just a fucking family holding hands standing there.
Oh, you know what? So they were doing their micro version of the...
yes. We Are the World, whatever it was. Yes. And so, yeah, because I noticed that the first time they were holding hands. And, of course, he goes out and she's the Adelaide is freaking out. She's like, I'm calling the cops right now. And they're like, it's going to be 15 minutes. And she's like, what the fuck? You know, she's freaking out. The kids are freaking out. And the husband goes out. There's like, hey, you need to leave. Get off my property.
First he was like, can I help you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he still had full faith. Like, I'm thinking, if I was in the writer's room, I'd have been like, can we get him saying, you know, maybe it'll hit the cutting room floor, but can we just get him to say the line? Are you guys like holiday carolers or something? Like, because that seemed to be the level of confidence he had in them.
Yeah, he was. Well, I think that it was hilarious because he acted in a lot of ways very much like a white man. Where he was just like, but it's my house. You can't just be here. If I say leave, you have to leave. Those are the rules. Like, you know?
Like, and also, like, you don't respond. Like, who the fuck does that ever? People just stand in the dark in the middle of fuck nowhere, mm-hmm. holding hands at the top of a driveway.
And then when you say, can I help you? And nobody responds. Like, he's talking to them and they're not responding.
Yeah.
So it's like hugely creepy. And he's like, all right, whatever. And he goes back in the house and he gets the baseball bat. And he's like, you know, then he starts to get all threatening. And then notice this time when he comes back out, they're not holding hands anymore.
Yeah, significant.
They had moved, like, you know, like their poses and whatnot.
It's fight stance.
Right. And so then he starts talking shit. and the big one.
The way they spread out, like the what, one kid on foot, one yes. kid on hands and foot.
Yes.
And when that big nigga just started walking, like, man.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
And you're holding the bat and still running away. Which, that's where he didn't act like a white man. A white man would have got his Second Amendment freedom protector and discharged.
Did you notice that? There was not a gun in the entire fucking movie. Did you notice that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I kept thinking about it scene to scene, like, man, somebody, because apparently it looks like you can kill them almost, and fucking, apparently you have to kill them a lot, and, but man, I think bullets would do the deal.
Yeah.
But that probably also would have been lazy, and I guess these are the kind of people that they think their class privilege means.
Well, it saves them, so they don't have to be strapped up like that. Yeah,
I can just call the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
I can call the cops.
Well, the funny thing is, the whole thing, they kept being like, we're just gonna tell the police. We're just gonna get the police. And it's like, you're trusting the same government to save you as the same government that ultimately put you in this position by creating these people in the first fucking place. Ugh. Like, talk about misplaced faith.
And then remember, the police also have doubles that are coming for them.
Can we get that to be the whole sequel? I want nothing but doppelgangers killing cops. Oh my god. I got really excited about that. Okay.
Oh man, Richard Spencer's double.
Woo, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Nigga.
Man.
All them niggas from Charlottesville and shit.
Now I'm just thinking of different types of doubles there could be. Samuel L. Jackson's double.
Oh shit.
Oh shit, that would be one. He would
Wesley
look like
Snipes would have a double?
Oh fuck that. Nigga. Jet Li.
Nigga.
We don't need those problems. Who's that? Woo. Michael Jai White?
Yeah, nigga.
Oh fuck that shit, man. Fuck that. I'll just commit suicide, nigga. You won.
It's over. It's over. But, so anyways, where were we at? All right, so there's these people outside. You can't see their faces. You can't tell who they are. And, you know, two of them seem to be smaller and, like, kind of scamper off.
Yeah.
And then the big guy starts coming. So the husband goes back in the house. And, of course, this nigga starts pounding on the door, trying to get in, you know, and nobody knows what to do. And eventually, of course, you know, they all get into the house. And,
but we gotta put the most illogical thing I've ever seen. Even as a child, I thought, how dumb is this? Excuse my ableist language. Keeping a key to the house
outside the house,
like under a doormat or some shit. Cause that's how the big fucker got in.
Yeah.
And then, he tried to fight him off with the bat. The big nigga took the bat.
Took the bat and hit him, the husband, in the leg.
Yeah. And then fucked him up for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. So it's like, so then of course, eventually everyone gets in.
Yeah.
And now the power's been out this whole time, so one of them is wearing a mask and lights a fire. And then we see their faces, and they are, of course, the doubles of this family, right?
Yeah.
So everyone has a double, for the most part, except they look a little creepier, look a little different.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing Thriller gloves and red jumpsuits.
I think the girl looked the same. The mother, she looked really beat up. The guy, his beard was thicker.
Yeah, his beard was thicker and longer.
Yeah, and the boy, his shit was completely fucked up.
Yeah, his shit was fucked up. And I think the girl only looked different because, like, she purposely had on, like, her creepy face.
Yeah, she was working it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really, all that was really she just opened her eyes wider and held a closed mouth smile.
Yeah.
Which is a scary look no matter who does it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was a cute little black girl and it was fucking creepy.
Yeah, which is, yeah, it's hard to make little black girls look scary. It is. That's why white people have to lie.
I mean,
we know you're lying. Little black girls aren't scary.
Right.
They're little buttons. But fucking little with buttons. Me. All right, and then what? She explains. She's like, there was a princess.
And notice how she starts with once upon a time.
Yeah.
What was probably one of the last things she heard.
Oh, fuck.
As a fucking child.
Yeah.
Bedtime stories and shit, once upon a time.
And in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think they would do that shit now if someone sat down and wrote some new shit.
Right, yeah. So I don't know, like fucking Cinderella or something, whatever.
Huh.
And so she's explaining that basically they're doppelgangers and they are
tethered
to living people, and they live underground, but they're kind of like required to do whatever you do, right? So like when you're eating, your doppelganger is eating. When you're sleeping, your doppelganger is sleeping. Like, you know, when you're walking, there was a really fucking creepy ass scene later on in the movie. They were showing what it was like down there with these doppelgangers. And it's like replaying the carnival scene from the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was like the doppelganger version, and there's no like you know, it's like basically an abandoned subway kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's not, you know, like people are just doing like these herky jerky motions of what's actually happening above, right? So like her dad's playing whack-a-mole and his doppelganger is just kind of, you know?
Yeah, like fucking Chuck E. Cheese animatronics.
Yeah, they kind of almost reminded me of zombies in that aspect where you just can't quite, it's like human-esque motion, but you can't just get it together. And so she's explaining that, you know, her kids, the doppelganger's kids are messed up because she had to have kids because Adelaide had kids. You know, she had to marry this man because Adelaide married her prince. You know, it didn't matter if she liked him or not. So just a lot of no free will. You have to do what your doppelganger does kind of thing. And, you know, then explains that basically we're tethered to you and we're sick of it. So we're going to kill everybody because we want to be free and live our own lives.
Hey.
And so, you know, she has Adelaide handcuff herself to a table. Handcuffs are very important.
Yep. Yep, because that's what she used when she snatched her. Uh-huh. But again, she was the one that got snatched.
Right. We didn't even explain that yet. Do you want to explain that now or save it as the plot twist reveal?
Nah, now. Fuck it. Okay. Yeah, I'm all about spoilers. All
right. So I just said they kind of, it's like a down in a subway, underground tunnels. There's all these fucking doppelgangers. So what actually happened in the beginning is when little Adelaide on her birthday is at this carnival thing. She sees the reflection in the mirror. The reflection chokes her out. Well, that's obviously the doppelganger. The doppelganger chokes her out and brings her down there and chains her to a bed and puts on Adelaide's clothes and leaves and then lives Adelaide's life as Adelaide. And that was her doppelganger. And it's sort of referenced initially in the movie when you see right after the incident happened, you know, her parents were like, we just can't get her to talk and we don't know why. The doppelgangers don't talk.
Yeah.
Right? They don't speak English. You know, she's like, she's just being weird. It's like, because she literally had to learn how to be human, which I think was the point of the her clapping off beat with the loonies. She's still learning how to be human. Or like when she's at the beach with her white friends, her one friend is like, how come you're not talking? She's like, sometimes I just have trouble like finding words or something.
Oh, remember? Shit. Yeah.
Because she's literally pretending to be a regular person when she's actually a doppelganger. So, but you don't find that out until the end. And, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of little fucking foreshadowing that she was the villain the whole time, or something was off. Like I was, you know.
Yeah, like I was reading that little article on some website. I forgot, like Lycog or something like that website, yeah. And they were like some shit that I had noticed where I was like, yeah, why does she grunt like that when she killed that motherfucker?
Her first language.
Right, and but see, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe it's like vampires. Maybe she got bit and she's slowly turning. I don't know.
No, but that was the language because she, okay. So, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it without making it confusing, right? So the Adelaide who got kidnapped, she's known as Red, okay?
Yeah.
So Red, when she was down there, she was the only one of the doppelgangers when they came up who could talk. And that's because she was actually a real person who got put down there instead of a doppelganger. Her doppelganger, on the other hand, learned how to talk, but still had sometimes like weird, you know, would grunt at weird times, would sometimes not be able to find a word, would, you know, that sort of thing. And so, yeah. Anyways, so
fake it till you make it like a motherfucker, huh?
Honestly, yeah. So yeah, so now, you know, the doppelgangers are up, they're in the house, they're explaining, Adelaide tells her kids, you know, everything's gonna be okay, which everyone says when nothing is okay. And, her, you know, the doppelganger, Red, is like, you know, to her kids and her husband, like, yeah, we're gonna kill these people, and her husband starts chasing Adelaide's husband, who can't really walk, he's like, yeah, throwing him downstairs and shit.
Yeah, it's really just a fucking, quite literally a drag party and / ass beating. Like, he's just getting fucked up by this guy. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, cuts to other scenes, like the two little boys are in the closet with the door that automatically locks.
Yeah.
So he puts a little ambulance toy in front of it, and he sees his face, and he's trying to show him his magic trick and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the boy is figuring out that he is a shadow. Even though the boy is, like, here to kill him, he is still a shadow, and that comes up later.
Yes.
And then it cuts back to the dude that was getting his ass beat by Big Man, and they're on the boat, and he has him in a bag.
Yes.
And then that boat, it was a shitty boat, so the motor kept going out. Mm-hmm. So that was his moment. The motor went out, he cracked him with the bat, but then the fucking boat starts up again, and he falls the fuck off because he was standing on a boat, which is what a logical adult does. Yeah, stand on a boat. Like, that's... I haven't been on a boat since I was, like, 7 years old, and I know that rule. You don't stand on the goddamn boat.
Right. No, I know. And, yeah, so that's going on, right? Because that was the thing. Everybody was, like, split up trying to deal with shit.
Yeah.
You know, so the daughter, like, took off running, and her doppelganger's fucking fast as shit.
But when you think about it, because she ran track, so the doppelganger just got exercise down there just doing that because I have to shadow you running track.
Exactly.
But then I'm also like this animalistic version of a human.
Right.
So when it is time to really run above ground, it's like that Terminator 2 liquid metal motherfucker.
It was. Because I remember like she like gave her a head start and everything, which was kind of fucked up, but
and she took the head start too. Yeah, she was like, all right.
Yeah, stretch it out.
Knuckles
shit.
Cracking.
Like, yeah, it's gonna be fun. But yeah, and so you know, the daughter is being chased by her doppelganger, like through just up and down the streets of the neighborhood. The husband is on a boat, and now he's in the water trying to get away from his doppelganger. The kid is in the closet with his doppelganger. She's, Adelaide is, like, tied to the handcuff to the table, like, with her doppelganger. And, you know, the boy ends up getting his doppelganger locked in the closet, and, of course, the kid starts yelling.
Yeah.
And Adelaide's like, that one's yours, that's making noise, you know. And so her doppelganger leaves to go find out what happened. And while that's happening, Adelaide breaks a table leg and gets herself free. Still in handcuffs, though.
Yeah, and with what became her weapon for the rest of the movie. It was a poker from the fireplace.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what she broke it with. And then now she's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of all end up meeting up in the driveway.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that was when they all went to the boat together.
Yes.
Somehow. So now the whole fam bam is on the boat.
And the husband killed his doppelganger.
Oh yeah. He never came back. He successfully.
Well, yeah, because he was in the water with him, but then I don't.
Well, what were like his legs were by the propeller of the boat.
And pushed him on the propeller, and that was the end of that one. So one doppelganger down.
And then we find out. That's when we find out everyone has him because the white people had him at their house.
Yes, which was a fucked up scene.
That was. Ill.
Because the wife, it's the same thing, right? The wife and that is like, I think I heard someone outside and tried to get the husband to go look and he won't go look. And there are two twin daughters come out of the bedroom, you know, and then all of a sudden there's three. And you're like, what the shit?
And we got, you know what? We got to go back to it, right? Because that, what made that interesting, what something I actually got in the moment, my brain was working like yours, was that remember when she said, like, what are you doing? What do you want? When they're initially got into the house, the black ones.
Yeah.
She's like, we want to take our time with you.
Yeah.
While you notice the other ones, they just went straight for the stabby stabby.
Yeah.
Because the white man is sitting back in a chair so comfortable, I'm not allowed to know what brand it is. And she was like, I'm hearing noises outside. It sounds like people rustling, walking around the house. Go see what it is. And he holds up his adult beverage like, I'm busy.
Right, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to see it. Then he fucks with her, pretending he sees something.
Yeah.
And then, boom, what? The two come out of upstairs and stab the teenage white girls?
Oh, and also all the doppelgangers have scissors that they're using to stab people with.
And on the, they look silver to me, but on the article it said golden scissors.
I think people had different scissors, or it's like a continuity issue, because sometimes I look silver and sometimes I look gold.
Okay, yeah.
Or maybe it's the lighting, I don't know. But yeah. Which was also interesting. Oh, I guess we should add, too, when the doppelgangers first came out to Adelaide, she said, who are you? And the doppelganger said,
We're Americans. It's like, oh, this is fun.
It's good. Right. And so, yeah. So the...
Because the back to the white people getting stabbed.
Yes.
The white woman was not all the way dead yet, which you ID'd her as the one from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
So Offred wasn't dead yet. All right. But Offred is crawling, and Offred tries to tell their sort of Alexa machine to call the police, and then the Alexa machine says, yeah, I'll play Fuck the Police by N.W.A.
It was funny because she had already been stabbed, so she couldn't, like, breathe, and so it was like, she's like, call you know, the police. So it's like, because, you know, because she was trying to breathe. So it kind of did sound like she was maybe saying that. And so,
and about that song playing, I gotta wonder if the Jordan Peele guy did that on purpose to make us all listen to the whole song.
I wonder.
Because we got all the way to MC Ren's verse.
We did.
Yeah, played the whole damn song.
And the other hilarious thing is, you have to remember, these doppelgangers mimic their human, if you will, whoever they're tethered to, same motions, they try to do the same facial expressions.
Mannerisms.
Like, right. So, of course, her husband, we've already established, is a fucking douche nozzle. Right? With the fragile shirt, his boat, he had a yacht, and instead it was, like, biatch on it or something.
Yeah, like, he put a B in an apostrophe in front of the Y, and then, like, a E after the H.
Yeah, so biatch, all right. You know, like, that kind of, and always, you know, competing with the other husband, like, oh, my car's bigger, my boat is bigger, my house is bigger. So he's already, like, we already know. And then, of course, when the wife is like, I hear something, he's like, this is my relaxing time. You know, so we already know he's an asshole. So he puts down his hand. The doppelganger puts down his hand when the wife is dying, and she goes up to take it. And
oh,
then
yeah.
He pulls it back and runs it through his hair. And I was like, oh, even your doppelganger is a douche.
Because that's all he knows how to do. He doesn't even know it's rude. He just knows that this is what we would do to the person we're married to. Jesus Christ.
Right? And so now I just forgot the main character's name. Adelaide's family shows up to this house. They're like, oh, we're gonna, you know, get help. And so, of course, the doppelganger comes to the door covered in blood, and she's like, oh, shit, and stabs him in the face with a fire poker.
Yeah.
Which, of course, didn't kill him, because these niggas is kind of supersonic.
Yeah. They can be killed, just not easy.
Yeah, not easy. You gotta kill them, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
And, of course, then, you know, the two twin doppelgangers jump out and grab Adelaide, bring her in the house. You know, the husband is, you know, trying to distract the doppelganger husband of the white man. You know, and then the kids are like, better go save mom. You know, and of course, she's still handcuffed, and they kind of move the handcuffs in a way that she was, like, attached to a bedpost.
But remember the kids, they grabbed weapons on their way in. She grabbed a golf club, and Boy grabbed, like, a crystal statue.
It looked like a geode.
What's that?
That's, like, the rocks that you crack open, and there's, like, crystals inside.
Huh.
Yeah, but it was like on like a platform. It looked very heavy.
Okay, yeah, he was, and that's what he had for his weapon.
Yeah.
And we got the great scene of, because what do we all see on TV and movies when someone hits a villain or a bully of some sort, and then they just kind of stand there and celebrate that they threw a punch? And we're like, hit him again! It's not over! She hit him again.
Yes.
That little black girl kept cracking that motherfucker with that golf club until it was over.
And knocked one of the twins off the balcony or off the railing, because they were upstairs. That was fucking funny.
And she fell into a coffee table.
That was good.
Which that didn't kill her.
We
saw her get up later, but significantly later. And also, because again, I love that beat down with the golf club so much, because she wasn't just doing swing hits. She also turned it, held it, and did jabs.
Jabbed her in the face with it.
Yeah, and you can see blood splatter, and like, this is warrior shit. It's like, I was like, yo, she got the spirit of Ogun, family. You dig?
Nigga, shut the fuck up.
We're mocking Tariq Nasheed for heads that don't know.
And so, and so then they, you know, the white doppelganger woman is putting on makeup, because that's what her white woman did, because she was talking about, I wanted to be a movie star, and if I hadn't gotten pregnant, I could have been somebody type shit.
Hmm.
And so, of course, she's putting on makeup and whatnot. And then there was that creepy-ass scene, too, which was very telling about these fucking white people and the state of their marriage. So the doppelganger white husband and Adelaide's husband are all fighting in a boat, and he kills the white doppelganger, and she's watching it. The wife doppelganger is watching it through the window, and instead of crying, she starts laughing. Did you see that shit?
Oh, well, yeah, but remember on the beach what she said? I think about
killing him sometimes.
She said all the time. She said, I think about murdering him all the time, and, you know, I'm not against that. It was funny how the fight between the black and the white cat started, because he really thought he was onto something with that flare gun.
He did.
That didn't work out too well.
No.
And then where did it go from there?
They get into the white family's car.
Yeah.
And they argue about who's gonna drive. Meanwhile, the black daughter's doppelganger pops up.
The runner.
Arguing. The runner, yeah.
And when they try to hit her with the car, she just runs onto the car. And just like, yeah, nigga, I'm going for a ride with you motherfuckers. and then the moment, man, where I'm just like, will you please act stereotypically black for me, please? Because, like, why would you open the sunroof and then leave it open? Nigga, help me. I can't deal with that.
And so the doppelganger's on the car. Eventually, the daughter is driving and, you know, hits the brakes, does the reverse and speeds up and so on, and ends up knocking her doppelganger off into the woods.
And she, like, the
like
way
flying.
She, and you see it a few minutes later because their mother gets out the car to go see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, her back, like, broke smooth the fuck over on a tree branch. Like,
yeah,
she
like
was
she was about to kick herself in the head.
Yeah. Folded backwards.
Yeah.
And then now, I would say that this was kind of like foreshadowing myself. That that yes. She had been down underground because the empathetic way that she kept going, like, just die.
Yeah.
Just peacefully die, stop fighting.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was still in that mode of, like, trying to reach out and grab and kill.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
very zombie-esque.
Yeah.
And she was just trying to be like, it's okay. Just like, yeah, that was very zombie-esque. Right, so then that doppelganger just dies because couldn't sustain the injuries from the crash. So that means that out of two of the four doppelgangers for this family are dead, right?
Yeah.
And so they end up going back in the white people's house, and they turn on the news, and of course on the news,
yeah,
they're like, we don't really know what's going on. There's just a bunch of people stabbing other people with scissors. We don't really know what the fuck is happening.
I think they use the word mayhem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually the newscaster got stabbed and didn't run. Like, he's sitting there watching the motherfucker walk up to him.
And he's like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
He's like, you probably want to put your kids away from this. And it's like, damn, nigga, you're that much of a journalist. You're like, I'm going to die on camera.
He's like, but I'm a white man with a respectable job. Nothing is going to happen to me.
Woo!
And then, of course, we notice that as the doppelgangers have killed people, they just stand in a line with their arms out holding hands with each other. Right? Which goes back to the first doppelganger that we saw.
So you think that's what they do after they kill their person?
Yeah,
like,
they just go to their assigned spot and wait.
Huh?
Yeah.
Ill.
Yeah. So, and of course, that's the first doppelganger that we saw who killed the Jeremiah 1111 sign guy was just there standing waiting. Because he did my job, waiting for my people.
Yep.
You know? And so there's like progressively more and more people. And they're all wearing red jumpsuits, by the way.
Yeah.
Which
I wonder if that's like playing off of prison orange jumpsuits.
I think it's playing off of prison jumpsuits because they were basically slaves.
Yeah.
Prisoners.
I mean, if you look, and they had like the bunks, like when you're down there.
Yeah. And then also because I think Red was, I mean, they called her, like she was known as Red down there, the real Adelaide who was stuck down there. But also like the way the visuals were set up going into that thing, like a lot of shit around her was just red, so I just wonder if that color was just like in her head, right? Because she won, her dad won her the Thriller shirt that had like Thriller and like bright red across it.
Huh.
She's eating that fucking apple, like the
candy apple. Shit.
The fucking owl that popped out in that thing had red eyes. There's like a fucking red exit sign. Like there was just a lot of like just red shit.
Yeah, around. And then like she had like some Mac 10 and DJ Quick CDs, and yeah, man, it was pretty red. It was Detroit red, I'd say.
Nigga. And then, of course, the last thing she sees, and mind you, because everything down there doesn't have color. Everything down there is, like, white. So, you know.
Yeah.
And the last thing she saw was this girl put on her red Thriller shirt.
Yeah, and if you notice, like, when they were doing the sort of flashback to try to teach you, like, how this shit works, to break it down for us.
Yeah.
And they're kind of showing the doppelgangers doing the same thing as the humans. The girl got that brand new, nice, pretty Thriller shirt, while the little girl underground got like some fucked up Killer Clowns from Outer Space looking just beat up old shirt.
Yeah.
But it's like she just had to get something to go through the motion.
Right. Well, that's the thing in that, you know, the doppelganger was explaining that. She's like, when you gave birth, it was a good event for you. For me, like my children came out like messed up or whatever. And, you know, everything that you did when you were eating, we had to eat raw rabbits. Right. When you were eating like real food, when you were doing this. And then you can see it. When they show down there, the motions that what they're replicating is like really horrible. You know, they're doing the replication, but it's like very abusive.
Yeah, like remember it showed a one that really stuck out to me was a an assumed cis couple, hetero, and they were feeding each other like on a date.
Yeah,
and like and then it shows the doppelgangers doing it, and they're like, Podcast listeners can't see that. Go to YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's, like I said, the movements were human-esque, but, you know, sort of zombie-esque. It was very, very aggressive and violent, and everything, like, looked painful.
There you go.
You know.
It looked painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, where do we leave off?
So they're watching the news.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going on. And then they're like, all right, you know, the Adelaide is like, we got to go. We got to find somewhere to go. We got to get out of here. They're going to come for us, you know, so on and so forth. And the husband's like, oh, just stay here. We have food and resources and stuff. And they're everywhere anyway, so we might as well, you know. And Adelaide wins the argument.
Okay, and she asserted herself, really, because she said this sentence right here, verbatim, you don't get to make the decisions anymore.
Yep.
And then, again, I'm not at home. I can't behave how I want to. I can't stand up and clap and yell.
Yeah, I'm in the theater.
I have to behave around all these fucking people with our assigned seats.
All right, so Adelaide's, all right, we're going. So they go. And then what happened after? They made it back to their house, their regular house.
Their beach house. Or their home.
Their home, yeah. Because this shit happened at their vacation house. Class privilege.
Huh.
And so they get there and their car is on fire because their doppelgangers got there before them. Now, mind you, all that's left is the boy whose face is fucked up and always wears a mask because his face is all burned. And the mom, who's actually red, who's actually the real Adelaide.
Fun. And this was ill because remember we said earlier the boy was realizing that it was a shadow, and then like she gets out to go see what's cracking with little boy like, yo, what's cracking, my man's, yo what the dilly with that, son, it ain't banging. And then little dude with that like to wear his gorilla mask a lot,
yeah,
he was like, it's a trap, and when you get out you see a gas line leaning to the car that they're in, so he tricked them into parking into that spot.
Yeah,
but then that car that's behind him on fire, the little Duke was like, all right, so he stood, put his hands out like in wings and started walking backwards, and now the shadow has to walk backwards and walks into the fire.
Which I think was interesting because they mentioned that later when Adelaide and Red are both underground, and Red's like, I think that they did this to control people, but it didn't work. Like, they, you know, they made the doppelgangers to control people.
To control humans.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
But because these were American humans, you could not take the freedom with doppelgangers. Yeah.
So anyways, while that kid is burning, Red kidnaps the son, Adelaide's son, so the real child. Yeah, popped out of nowhere and took the fuck off.
She came out of the reflection in the shiny car.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was nasty. Yeah. That was movie magic that I'm all about.
Yeah, and to a point, nobody even knew he was gone for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're like, where the fuck, you know, and so...
I have to point out, my bad, yo. But that's when you see the act. Her name is Lupita.
Yes.
Because all I hear about her is, you know, the male gaze aspect of her.
Yes.
She's so pretty. And I thought this movie was really overplaying her butt shots, too. Like, they did that a little too much. Like, fall back, Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
But then you also see Lupita got stabs. She can run fast.
Yeah.
Like, if she's ever mad at me, I'm still going to try to run away, but I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I'm probably going to try to do the thing where you throw stuff in their path. Like, I don't know. I'm going to hit fences. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get away.
You're not going to get away?
Yeah, I think I'm going to die.
I think she's also like 5'2 and 80 pounds. So, I mean, you know.
I don't know. She could have a knife.
Well, she's Puerto Rican.
Yes.
So, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do and how to get around this. And so Adelaide figures out she has to go back to the underground because that's where her son is. And, you know, while Adelaide's going there, the husband and the daughter are just kind of like hiding out in an ambulance.
Yeah.
And they're like observing the people there, just the doppelgangers there, just holding hands. There's just like fucking rows of them just holding hands.
And there was a fucked up police car, like we said earlier.
There was a fucked up police car.
They have them too.
I still want to see that as a whole movie.
Yeah.
Nothing but police doppelgangers.
Yeah. No dialogue either. Just screams and handcuffs flying around.
I'm here for it.
Which then that's not a BDSM thing that I realized. I said screams and handcuffs. All right.
But there were no safe words. Right, because that's the thing about these doppelgangers is they're killing people, but it seems like they only kill their person.
Yeah.
And then they're just done, you know.
Yeah, so or they'd like to be. Like, if you try to fight them, then it's like, well, now they got to take you down.
Right.
Yeah, like the ones in the white people house. They were like, oh, you're on our turf.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, she did stab him in the face with a poker.
It's plastic surgery.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all.
And so, you know, so Lupita's character goes, you know, into that little fucking thing, that House of Mirrors shit from when she was a kid, and goes through, and this was the biggest tell of all, because, like, I already had so many red flags about this character. This was the biggest one. She knew where to go, right? So she peels back, like, one panel of this House of Mirrors, and it's like a fucking escalator. Like, she goes, like, downstairs and through, like, the fucking boiler room, and like through all these fucking twists and turns, and there's just out of fucking nowhere the cleanest subway escalator you have ever seen in your life.
Oh, and
that
also
shit was spotless.
There was like one last sort of holdout before all the extra tells that you just mentioned came in. The owl popped out. She freaked out and fucking smacked the shit out of that electronic owl.
She did. She did. The one with the red eyes. And so, you know, she goes down and, like, it's like this whole fucking underground thing. It reminded me a lot of the subway, I think, because of the visuals of it. But there were, like, rooms. There were fucking rabbits everywhere, because that's all they ate, apparently, were rabbits.
And they show that in the beginning of the movie. I'm wondering, like, what the fuck? The beginning of the movie was so goddamned slow.
Yeah.
And, like, part of it was they're just literally playing, like, some choir singing some creepy, like, upbeat Catholic tune.
Yeah.
And it's just showing a rabbit in a cage. And then the camera pulls back and just shows, like 100 rabbits in cages just on top of each other.
Yeah.
And they're all white rabbits.
No, they weren't.
There were, like, brown ones and
There was a couple brown ones. There was a couple black ones. Not very many.
No shit.
But they were mostly white.
I gotcha.
Almost accurate for the United States population. I don't know. And so, you know, there's rabbits everywhere. It's weird because they made it creepy even though there wasn't anything creepy there. It was just like an empty room full of desks and like an empty room with a bunch of rabbits hopping around and, you know, like all these things. So you could tell clearly people live there, and then there's a room with fucking bunk beds and whatnot.
Oh, the desks, because they have to mimic students.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. And so you're like, what is this place, right? Because it's all underground and it's, you know, very like, what the fuck, you know? And so she ends up finding in a classroom her doppelganger, and she's cutting out, you know, like the paper people where you, you know, stack a bunch of papers together and you know.
Yeah.
So they're all holding hands. And she's explaining, the doppelganger is explaining the theory of like, you know, I think this was a government project and they made us to control people, but they couldn't, you know, mimic the soul. So they let it go, but we were stuck down here and, you know, just how horrible and shitty and awful everything was being down there, and makes a comment like, I often think about what would have happened if you would have taken me with you that day. Referring to the day that they saw each other in the House of Mirrors.
Yeah, but she's all... But because she is the real her...
Yes.
She's like, if we could have just been twins up there kicking it, but you asshole...
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta chain niggas up and shit.
Exactly.
I had a life, you fuck.
Exactly.
I had a drunk dad and a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, she's explaining all this and that, and then you see the whole backstory of how, you know, what actually happened, and... the doppelganger chains her to the bed and, like, goes up and lives her life on the surface and whatnot. And, you know, they end up talking about this ballet recital. And that's when the other...
Woo!
That's when the other doppelgangers realized Red was something special. And they don't really explain when the government quit doing this project, but obviously at some point they quit doing it and just left the people down there. Because, obviously, they were allowed to form around Red, basically, and start, you know.
Yeah, like, and that was the thing, right? Because she's not really one of them.
Right.
She's an actual upground human with a soul.
Right.
And she was already doing ballet.
Yeah.
So when it came time for her to mimic it, she mimicked it so perfectly. They were like, you're on some other shit. You are now our queen.
Yeah, basically is what happened.
And which that's something else Jordan Peele did on purpose, was made a black girl a queen.
Did you notice, too, when she was dancing, they were all watching her? They were no longer doing that. Because every other time you see them, they're doing their mimicking of whatever their human is doing.
Huh.
When she was doing her ballet recital, they were just standing watching her. Nobody was moving.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, so I'm like, at some point, like, shortly after, I guess she got left down there, the program disbanded? I don't know.
Huh.
Or maybe it was, I don't know.
Nah, maybe, like, as far as the government, but maybe they were still doing it, because they were still tethered. That's right, they wanted to become untethered.
Right.
So they probably were still doing it, but it's probably even shittier, because there's no regulation or oversight. The Republicans cut back all the regulation. Yes. It was probably under the fucking, definitely the second Bush administration. The first Bush administration tried to do it, but they lost the re-election.
Yes.
And then old Slick Willie came in and fucked everything up. But then second Bush got it after the Supreme Court made him president despite hanging chads in Florida. I think that's what happened.
Yes.
Had to throw something out there for the regular podcast listeners. They're like, man, I don't like this. fucking.
But yeah, and so... You know, so then Red starts explaining she was training them and was going to make everything perfect. And the only thing she had, like, left was her shirt under her Thriller shirt. She was wearing her regular clothes. And there was the one with the everybody holding hands, like the We Are the World shit. And that was, like, her, like, she's like, I had to make a statement, you know.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. That explains. And then starts dancing. Fucking creepiest fucking, I swear to shit, nigga.
But it was fucking lovely, folks. If you haven't seen this shit yet. You know, like, and thank goodness we didn't give any spoilers here, except for this one, is, man, because you know how they flip the I Got Five on It beat?
Yeah.
They flip it into a ballet dance ass whooping.
Yes.
And, like, they're fighting, and she's doing ballet, and the music is going, and, like, when that shit comes out on Blu-ray, I'm getting it, because I know what Blu-rays are now, something I learned in recent years, and I'm getting it, and I'm watching that scene, like, five times in a row. It's the shit.
Yeah, it was a good fucking scene.
It's the goddamn.
And eventually Adelaide wins and stabs her doppelganger.
Yeah. But it looked like she lost for a second because she got her in the belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the scissors. Maybe it was, you know, it didn't hit any organs.
Yeah, I wonder if it was, I couldn't tell, but it looked like her stomach, but then she was limping. So I was like, was it her leg?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Stab her in your dancing sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then as her doppelganger is like slowly bleeding out, she starts whistling.
Yeah.
And whistling Itsy Bitsy Spider, of all things.
Again, that was one of the last things she did, was she was alone and scared in the House of Mirrors and just started whistling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing she did was hear stories about Once Upon a Time, mm-hmm. ballet dancing, and whistling.
Mm-hmm.
That's all and the fuck she knew.
Also, I think Itsy Bitsy Spider is an interesting choice, because it climbed up the spout.
Oh, and earlier in the movie, it showed her seeing a huge spider and somehow not freaking the fuck out.
Yeah,
that spider's abdomen. Woo!
But also, where did all these people come from? Didn't they climb up the spout?
Yeah.
Like, they all fucking came out from this fucking sewer or whatever. And, I would fucking...
Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out. I was just trying
out
to see
came
if it's
the sun and dried up all the rain, and the Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the spout again.
Oh fuck! So if you defeat them, they're coming back.
Is there a sequel?
There better be.
I hope so.
Oh man, yeah. Shit. Just one where they kill the cops.
Yeah, please make that. I need to make like a petition or something. Please make that into a movie.
Yeah.
And so then, of course,
she knows exactly where the locker is.
Well, her kid made a noise in there.
Oh, like, he did make a bumpy dump. Yeah.
And so she finds her kid. He's in one of the lockers. And, you know.
Oh, you got to wonder how much of that shit he heard them saying.
He totally knows.
Yeah.
Because did you see him at the end? Right? So, okay. So this is like, that's like the finale. And then they have the little wrap-up shit, right?
Yeah.
And so everyone's back in the ambulance. She's driving. And her kid's just kind of looking at her sideways and puts his mask on.
And she's smiling at him like, nigga, I know you know.
Yeah.
But the fuck you gonna do?
Yeah, he totally knows. But it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because that's your mom. Like, still your real mom. Like, I don't know. But
yeah.
I thought that was something that was interesting, too, was that, like, Red kept being like, you know, we're human, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, they really are, because obviously if the, you know, Adelaide's doppelganger got out and got married and had kids.
If you can breed, you know.
You know, yeah. So it's like, yeah, same, you know, it was very interesting in that aspect to be like, yeah, we're Americans, we're human too, you know.
And then it was a cool helicopter shot where they're just showing people in red jumpsuits across the rotten fruited plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we sat there thinking, oh, maybe they'll have some scenes jump up during the credits, and it didn't, and then people were leaving, and then the fucking theater staff kept coming in, and that's uncomfortable. Like, this is our dark space where we came to watch a movie in public, and it's not your job to come out here yet, chief. Alright? I came up watching movies in the 90s, and this is not when you come out.
Right.
Alright? And also, like, fucking, and tuck your shirt in. What are you doing? You're killing me, Smalls. Alright, I'm fucking around.
So, that was how the movie ended. And so, any themes, you think?
Themes?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Oh, like, I mean, well, we said, is it us or US? Or are they us?
Because I think it's human? a double entendre.
Yes.
That it is US, because it was only US. It's not like they were like, and we got motherfuckers in Japan, and we got motherfuckers in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, it's just American. And fucking, nigga. So yeah, it's McMurka, that's the US part. But then it's us, because when you finally, if they don't kill you on sight and they want to take their time with you, you're like, oh, fuck, it's us.
It's us.
And then that's probably, like, depending on your level of skill at whatever it is you do, if they're trying to kill you, you're going up against yourself at however you're good at whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going up against a guy that is me, I'm like, okay, this guy has no skill, but he's all strength. So all I got to do is dodge his shit and kick him in the leg. He's got no skill. This guy has no hands.
So basically, you have to be able to fight the best or worst version of yourself.
Jesus Christ. I'm throwing shit at that nigga. Fuck that. He works too hard.
Yeah, it was just interesting. It was also interesting to me, too, to see... you know, like, the way that they framed these doppelgangers, they were kind of, like, they kind of looked fucked up. Their, you know, their movements were kind of fucking weird.
Yeah.
They were really creepy. But, at the same time, they really are us, you know, if you will. Because if you look at Adelaide in particular, she was one of them, and she passes for a pretty normal fucking human now.
Yeah.
So, like, they can definitely become, you know, like, regular folks.
Yeah, but the one of her, just, she had no reason to get her hair braided. So right. She just kind of rocked a nappy fro. The other guy, he had no reason to shave, so he just had a thicker beard.
Yeah.
The boy, I'd like to know why his face looked like he sustained
fire.
Yeah, like he got fire injury. The girl, her hair was pretty much just permed out, but not done. It wasn't like in a ponytail or anything, because she has no reason. She's down there just, and that's why her hair's straight, because she's mimicking you. Huh.
Yep.
Fun times.
Yeah.
And then that's probably why Adelaide, her hair wasn't braided, because I'm not mimicking you, nigga, that's me.
Right.
Fuck you.
Right. You're mimicking me, actually.
Yeah, asshole. So fucking, all right, yeah, that's, yeah, it's fucking interesting. It's a fun one.
It was good.
You know, and I'm sure other people are going to cover it different from us, where they're going to be like, man, and this is what it means with the, and it's like, no, there's not no iller viller meaning to shit. It's entertaining and it's fucking fun. It was dope. Good performance. The slow parts were slow, but when it got exciting, it stayed exciting.
It did.
Yeah.
It
did. It's a dope film. Somehow we naturally always do an hour. How? We did not plan this. We just saw the movie, what, 2.5 hours ago?
Yeah.
And somehow we managed to do a 1 hour podcast.
Nigga, never fails. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think there's a lot of themes in it. I just think that they're also intentionally vague, so you can take away what you want from it, I think.
And let me see. So one person left a comment on the Facebooks Live right before we go. Let me see. Oh, that's Sam, and it says,
I think it says, can't wait to see the movie now.
Oh, want to see this now. See, spoilers are fun.
Yeah,
and I think I'm going to, when I post this, I'm going to put Phoenix and William discuss the movie Us, but with no spoilers. That's how I want to title it.
Oh, that's mean, B.
Until everybody's cool with trigger warnings, I don't give a fuck about spoiler alerts.
That's mean.
And if you also don't give a fuck about spoiler alerts, we pass around the old tip jar, the offering plate around the congregation, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, and niggas can sign up and be a taxpayer so everyone can drive on this road, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Please be as us as possible wherever you are.